Our Heavenly Father, we are happy to sing this song, knowing that you are here to, having led us out to lead us into your kingdom, and we know that that is now possible for the first time in these 6,000 years, and nothing is going to stop it. And furthermore, we know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us and now intercedes for us, is our great role model and the object of which we give all our attention, our affections, knowing that through him we will one day be raised with him and like unto him to sit within the throne. Even though we really don't know what all that means, we realize it suggests and shows for a power over those things which you will have set in the New Jerusalem and even the millennium, so that now we will be in true conformity, Lord, with all of your creation, all of your angels, all those things, Lord, which are of you and will be maintained either by you through creation or your very life, which you have given to your sons and your daughters. And we appreciate that, Father. We thank you for it today, knowing that this has been truly vindicated to us. It is not some myth. It is not something that man has evolved. In fact, Lord, we never really knew what it was all about and how it was until this hour when you brought it before us. And we thank you for it, even giving to us the revelation of those things which were not known from before the foundation of the world, how it all started and where it all ends in your complete glory. And we are part of it and beyond even our wildest dreams, for which we thank you. Help us as we study more to realize this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going into identification again this morning. You remember the subject, or identification is the subject matter of this particular sermon that Brother Branham preached. Now, the word identification is exactly according to the dictionary. And that's exactly what Brother Branham gave us. And when you are identified, it means it is pointed out to you who and what you are. And in other words, we're talking in exact terms. You cannot say, this represents a horse. Now, you say that, that's fine if you have something there representing it. But when you say, this is a horse, then it better be a horse. It better not be a cow that you've been trained all your life and you got them interchanged. And every time a horse came along, it was pointed out it was a cow. Then you got to disabuse your minds. The identification, then, is not according to the dictionary. You are typing, you are suggesting, you are even idealizing, or ideating. I don't know what you're doing. But you're not dictionary. You're not definitive. So, identification, then, means it's pointed out to you who and what you are exactly. It is established, and this time by vindication. Because we're dealing with the Bible, and the Bible's up for grabs. It was up for grabs ever since Jesus and Satan stood side by side in the worship. And Jesus in Michael, that was his facade, chose to stay with the Word. Whereas Satan took the Word and perverted it, because that's not, ever forget the word iniquity means a subverting of the Word, a perverting of the Word. People think iniquity is where you go out and you beat people up, you kill them, you rob them, you defame them, you defile yourself, you enter into many terrible things. That, as Brother Branham said, is merely, they're merely the attributes or what comes out of sin. What sin originally is iniquity, which means, and you look it up in the Hebrew, the perverting of the word. Now, you can pervert the word by changing a letter. You can pervert the word by changing a modifier. You can use it by a preposition. You can use it by a conjunction. You can do it any way you want. And then now, and on the other hand, if you remove a preposition or you remove the conjunction, you got trouble. For instance, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say blessed be God who is the Father, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's a perversion. And that oneness doctrine is of the devil. I'm sorry, but it's of the devil. Period. It's of the devil. Well, Brother Bale, you're not kind. I'm not supposed to be kind. I'm of his kind. So I see, I know my identity. So I'm not going to give an inch. See, God had drove me absolutely crazy until it came clear. And now I just pick up my Bible and say, merciful God, boy, where were you? I was deluded. But my delusion was not to the point where I knew, like a Trinitarian and a Jesus only, that I'm correct. I was not so deluded as I was befuddled. So now I'm not befuddled. Okay. Identification. When you're identified, it means it is pointed out to you who you are, what you are. It is established by vindication today as to be recognized to whom you truly are. Then if God is behind this identification as revealed in the Word, then you are truly recognized as a child of God, and you actually are, you recognize that your progenitor is God Himself, and you are actually a part of Him. Now that's identification. True sons, because you came from God Himself. This revealed word study on identification precludes any allusion or pointing to or believing in the phony psychological use of the word identification, which means you only identify, not that you are a part of it, but you'd like to be a part of it, and if you could do it, you would do it. For years there was a fellow named Clayton Powell in New York, a senator, very powerful, also a pastor of a church. He married several women. He had many affairs. He was crooked as a dog's hind leg and his front leg combined, or a centipede, that kind of a guy. He married Lena Horne and somebody else, and it put him in power every single time till he died. And when the psychologists were asked, how did the people continue to do this, they identified with him, meaning they would like to have been Clayton Powell, had his lovers, had the girlfriends, and the money, and the prestige, and lived like him. That's psychological. That's not worth a plug nickel. It'll send you to hell. You don't identify with Jesus psychologically. You either have to be a son of God like He was in your own position, or you're out. Now, people don't carry identification that far. That's the trouble. My teaching, and believe me, it was very minor. But the books I read were not minor. I got my hands on every book I could read, and I read them. And in those books you will find identification is not a true doctrine. It merely means they identify with on a psychological principle, as Jesus did it all. Now you identify with it. That is substitution. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If I see a person having a wonderful meal, I don't want him to substitute for me. I want that meal. Substitution is okay in its own place. You were not nailed to the cross, neither was I. That's substitution. But identification is, as Paul said, you were in Him and you died with Him and rose with Him. You were back there in Him and with Him. As God, as Brother Brown said, God the first person, the first man, Adam, Jesus the second, Adam the third. So there's a progression of coming on down. And when it's all over, you go right back to the God who actually you were a part of, and now in your complete manifestation of what God wanted in and through and by you to His glory, wherein He worked within you, and you're placed in a high position. Believe me, that is not substitution. That's you. That's I. That's we. And Job said, I'm going to see God in my flesh, and it won't be anybody else seeing Him, but I'm going to be seeing Him myself in my flesh. Get that down pat. This is what Brother Branham is teaching us here. See? So, the revealed word study and identification precludes, stops, does away with any allusion or pointing to the phony psychological use of the word identification. And even as important, cannot be used as a synonym for substitution. Never. This is reality. We are a part of God, and to truly believe it and receive it can only be permitted by God, the righteous judge. Now, you can deceive yourself into thinking you are it. Well, that's great, I'm a part of God. Don't you know that Christian Science, Unity, Methodism, and almost every Protestant religion believes that except the Catholics? And they say if you truly believe you're a part of God and predestinated, they'll let you be cursed. And but I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe it, you can't receive it, you are cursed. Of course, the Pentecostals elude themselves because they speak in tongues and prophesy a few things. They're going to meet God. But my Bible tells me, if you're not converted, truly born again, truly filled with the Holy Ghost, the gifts will condemn you, send you to hell, whereas you don't even have to be born again and take a glass of cold water and give it to somebody. He'll say, come on to this part of my kingdom. So where are you going to now? That's revelation. And that's true identification. Now, Brother Branham noted, so we go back to his notes, he noted that sons, fallen sons of God, each a part of God, needed someone of their own race but superior to them to redeem them, to buy them back, to restore them to their rightful position, and allow them to go on even beyond that by living their lives on earth by the Word and the Spirit of Almighty God. Because Jesus said, restore to me the glory I had with you in the beginning. That's the beginning when he came forth, that light. And by him, God created all things. And Adam had the same position, the same God, the same Spirit, ruling over the beasts and naming them and communing with nature and controlling nature. He would have had the chance to control the stars, everything else. I believe he could have advanced to that. Although, mind you, he was an earth man and upon earth. But all earth was his. And they blew it the very minute they put God out by his word. They threw it all away. Now, Jesus said, restore to me that glory. And the voice came back saying, I not only restore that glory, but I'm going to put you far beyond it. So that's why I say here that those people, led by God, their lives given over to God, down here put in the flesh to be tempted, yielding their lives to God, will have a position far beyond what they had initially. Even as a baby coming forth from the womb has a body, that body will grow in stature and nature, become strong, and do things that baby could not do by virtue of the fact of being mature and seasoned. So it is that man is given the privilege. You have been faithful over a few things here on earth. I will make you ruler over many things. So, there is not only the possibility and probability, there is the absolute reality of those of us who suffer for Christ, persecution, who give the glass of cold water, who do not aggrandize themselves, but take the lowly position of knowing he that is greatest of all is servant of all, that by serving God, by serving mankind, you serve God, and by loving your fellow brethren. And his brother Branham said, how you ought to love each other, you that love this word. By loving each other, love God. So there you see the high order. And that order that you see in a person who is mature, in control of his senses, in control, who is vital, who is valuable. Whereas a baby, you must just pander to the baby. You got to change him, burp him, everything else. But the adult stands right there. That's why fathers are so different from mothers. Mothers just love their children. It can be miscreants. They can be God knows what. They can be a miserable mess. And mother loves them. But a father, he's different. He said, I want that son, that daughter of mine, to to mature, to be a solid citizen, to know where he and she is going. There is a vast difference. And so the church would coddle. The church would mother. The church would murder its kids. But that bridegroom stands back and says, I want maturity. I want to see them going places and doing things. I want them to understand where they came from, who they are, what I require of them. That's what Brother Branham talked about, the adoption, the placing. And that's exactly right. When Jesus died, he gave us the right to come back to our rightful place. As Brother Branham talked about redemption and predestination and those who couldn't take it. As I said today, how this dear brother, and he said, oh, we had such sweet fellowship until you mentioned predestination, and he went to pieces. Why? Why? The Apostle Paul said, the doctrine of predestination gave you the right to rejoice. Well, I can't rejoice. I can't rejoice. Shut up, for God's sake, shut up. You're turning my stomach. You can't rejoice when God says to rejoice. Oh, I could say some very tough things right now, but I didn't promise myself I wouldn't, but I just think, well, why bother? So let's go to reading again. So Brother Branham here is talking about predestination, about identification, and he mentions that you have to go to the Bible and see if you're identified there. And the identification comes out with the realization, hey, I never did have a beginning, except a beginning in the flesh. I never ever really was lost. I'm part of God. Now you tell me, anybody preaching that in through the ages except the Apostle Paul and William Branham, I want to know about it because I've read the books. Not every book, but I've read enough books to know. Luther never saw that. I can't find, well, I don't know anything he said. Of course, I don't know everything he said. But I bet I know this for sure. I can say this, I believe. I could almost say, look, I know 100% positively. Wesley never said it. He was a legalist. He was the age of the polling, the scattering. And people think, well, there you are. Everybody's free to come in. Everybody's free to come in. Just come on, come on, come on. All things are ready. Come and dine, come and dine. Forget it. You tell me when Jesus came back from the dead, he said to everybody, come and dine. He said it to the 11 apostles, come and dine. The bread and fish upon the fire, and eat the fish sandwich, your Brother Branham said. If you think just everybody can come to millennium, I got another thought for you. Ain't going to do it. Come, you blessed of my Father, into the kingdom. Depart me, you cursed. Yet the ones cursed were the ones in there glorifying God and themselves on the ground. I spoke in tongues. I prophesied. I cast out devils. I did miracles. I did wonders. You'd get out of here. The other person, come here, he said. You gave a glass of cold water to one of my brothers. Classical water? And between who is the greater? The one that served God by serving his fellow man. That's why Brother Branham said, what are you talking about gifts, these things that are so unreal when the heavens are full of reality? The skies are full of the truth. Put the gifts, as it were, on the shelf. In other words, put them in their right place. Use them if you can use them properly under jurisdiction. Or don't do it. How many people read this message when you find them turning any way they want to turn? Well, that's their business. Okay, Brother Branham says here now that there's a heavenly record, and there certainly is. And Jesus bore record to the heavenly record. He positively did. John the Baptist proclaimed him. The angel told it his birth. The shepherds came. Wise men came. John the Baptist identified him. The heavenly record was made extant and open before the entire people. But the heavenly record also bore witness that he would die and rise again. So his body was not given to the grave to stay there. And something miraculous happened, that when Jesus' body lay there without corrupting, by the time his soul came back to it, and he rose from the dead, he had a glorified body, which now could go through buildings, and had vibrations which were even greater than the speed of light. So he could travel greater than the speed of thought. And he had this body which was completely glorified. Now that body that was glorified, as we explained last night and read to you, Brother Branham, in going into Luke 1, 30 to 35, somewhere in that area there, concerning the angel that came and said, look, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and that holy thing born of you shall be called the Son of God. And Brother Branham said the truth of that was that God himself came down and created a sperm and an egg. That was created. Then he wrapped it around himself, or he wrapped himself in it, and that tells you one thing, that God was now bringing himself into a human body that thoroughly expressed his essentiality, 100%, exactly who and what he is, as a spirit being, so that whatever genes and traits would come forth in that pure, created, chemical body, sperm and egg, would have the imprint of God himself, the Father, in there, in that body. And yet it was a human body. And that's the body the Scripture says, lo, a body hast thou prepared for me. And that's the body that Jesus took. So you can see where Brother Branham says he's God, but he's not God. He's the Son of God. And he dwelt in a body that God prepared for himself, and I would say vacated, that the Son could come in now. This being now the true blood of God and the life therein. So now we have this superior one, known as the only begotten one. He was the only one that came forth from the Father in the measure that he came forth and was the original first begotten, so that he inherited every single thing the Father had, but the Father himself. And what the Father kept as his own prime possession. Even as a father and a mother has a son. The son cannot have access to the mother. That's the father's possession. But he can have access to every single thing, up to 50% of what the father has above that. What he created. So this is the uniquely begotten one of a kind. Begotten is no one else. Again, he's begotten in the flesh as no one else. Albeit, it is true, it takes a human sperm and a human egg to bring forth a child. But this was not human. No way. Because there was no human being left. They're all messed up with serpent seed and everything else. So God now creates this. And because it's the life of God and God wrapping himself in it, you can see positively that if he were a man and he had access to producing the egg that he would fertilize, this would be as like almost a true clone, an absolute perfect one. And he was that one. This is the amazing thing of how different he was. He was begotten number two. In a way, no one else. Then number three, he was begotten from the dead as no one else. So now you see God working in threes. This unique one absolutely now stands in our stead as high priest. And there again, you cannot say it is a substitution, because it is not. It is a reality. We have someone standing for us when we cannot stand for ourselves. You could say, well, that's a substitution. No, it isn't, because it wasn't planned that way. You don't take the steering wheel of a car from the front and put it in the back. You can't switch things around in God's program. It's got to be according to what God wanted it. And he wanted that. And this is the one that redeemed us. Now, because of that glorified body, which I specified to you, now you can call it the divine alchemy of God if you want to, because now God, after we die, molder in the dust and turn to ashes and dust, no matter where we are, a part of the atmosphere even, gone up in complete flames. God will take that. And as Brother Branham said, God will create again, not by sex, but by taking the very elements that were once in our body, whether 53 or 153, who cares? He takes it all and brings it back to the glorified state of Jesus Christ, who had this wonderful, wonderful body, yet it died and God changed it and raised it. Now, do you identify with that? See, that's the thing. You go beyond substitution. Substitution merely is psychological. Like the guy when Brother Branham was in Africa. And this blind boy came, I think it was. Something was wrong anyway. Brother Branham said what it was and prayed. The kid was healed. And the doctor behind muttered, hypnosis. And Brother Branham turned, he said, well, if it's hypnosis, you know these things better than I do. You come and do something. The same thing happened in Bloomington, Indiana, at the university. The University of Pennsylvania there, well, he said, that's mental telepathy. He said, you, come on, you're smarter than me. Come on, you do it. The guy slunk out. I wouldn't want him. Now, the one guy in Africa got converted and became a Pentecostal preacher. I didn't hear what happened to the other guy, and I'm not interested. But I know one thing, if he didn't change his mind, he'll be in hell. And he wish he had given me a glass of cold water to somebody. But he won't get one. You cannot take the things of God and turn them to psychology. And remember, Brother Branham consistently, use the word harp if you want, but dwelt upon the fact, you cannot, through education or any human talent, get a revelation of this word, and nobody outside of a son of God will recognize this because they can't receive it. It is only given from above what you can receive. And if it's not given to you from above, you cannot receive it. Let's face it. If you are from above to begin with, you can only take what is from above. You can't take what is down here. You'll be the eagle in the chicken pen. And I'll tell you, clucking with the chickens and picking manure is not ego food. Now, the crow can do it on both sides. But he'll still fly away and prefer the junk food, the fast food restaurants, to the good healthy drinks that you get in your own home. The crow is a junk food artist, but the Christian is a fresh food artist. He's more of the holistic strain. Now, this glorious body that I described to you, like unto his own, as the Bible says, and remember his origin in his body. Think then what God does for us to give us one identical. Because we had no right to it. And you say, I'll tell you why. Because if it took that special body of Jesus to get where he is in the resurrection, then what we had would not do it under any consideration. Now, that's true substitution there. But getting the body is not substitution. It is reality. Because now we're identical. Why? Because we were identical, based on the same source, which our source is God, the same as his. Why is it that people cannot read the book of Hebrews and get it right? Well, I know they can't because they're not right in the first place. But here's what the Bible says. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Jesus and the children of God are all of one source, which is God, the Father. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. And that's the only reason. Not our conduct, not our shape, not our thinking, not this and not that, but identification. One source, one God, one Spirit. People don't believe that. Oh, man, I mean, people don't believe anything except people like us. Hallelujah, we're believers. A lot of people call themselves believers. They ain't, as far as I'm concerned. But look at over here what it says. Oh, I'll find a minute, if I can. Get the right chapter here. For there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, because He is the Father, who is above all and through all and in all. Now that's the bride. And that's what I'm telling you. That's what Brother Branham called identification. Can you read your Bible and be identified? And he said the horse knows his pedigree. He's the thoroughbred. But the mule doesn't. He's a combination of a horse and a donkey or a jackass, whatever it is. Burro. He doesn't know his mammy and pappy. He's got no pedigree. And the funny thing, the horse is the only known animal to have it be called a thoroughbred. The others are purebreds and all. Purebred cow, purebred dog, thoroughbred horse. And if you can't tell the chicken from an eagle, there's something wrong somewhere. So how will I tell one? Watch what he's eating. Watch with whom he's eating. Watch how he's eating, what he's eating, with whom he's eating. Come on. Anybody that can listen to guys like Shelley and guys that run around the country, I didn't want an inch. I don't bring them around me. I say, get out. Just leave the building here. I wouldn't tolerate a preacher coming here. I know his background is all fouled up. So I'd have to say, deacons, get him out. Say, Brother Bale, you're not nice. I never said I was nice. Don't tell me I'm going to be nice and nonsense. Like, we had a guy come in here trying to fill the church with a whoremonger situation. Anybody marry anybody? Yeah. Don't tell me you got the answers, because I don't have the answers myself, but I know enough to keep away from all kinds of nonsense. Live someplace else. I'm acquired by God, required by God, not to sit with a person who says he believes this message and he's sinning. I can sit with a sinner out there. I can sit with a whoremonger. I can sit with a murderer, and but I can't sit with somebody who says, I believe this word of William Branham. Lies about it and has a life that's rotten. Read your Bibles. Start getting some identification. Without you being identified, you will mess up. That's what happened to Eve. She would not stay identified. She got from behind the Word. Your identification in this Word is everything. And if you listen to Satan's lie, it shows your mark down somewhere where you should be sitting higher. He got from behind the Word. She refused the identification of God who vindicated Himself for listening to a beast come by. Handsome old devil. Big giant of a guy. She was seduced. Brother Branham said, Adam wasn't fooled, but she was. That's why she can't handle the Word. That's why she got a certain position she should maintain. That's why it's devolved upon her to say no and this and that and the other thing. Brother Branham explained in marriage and divorce. You show me the women that identify themselves this message. Come on. I want to know about them. I'm getting so fed up with women these days. I'm not a woman hater. I've got sisters sitting here, they're pure as the snow. I see them out there just anxious to run around. How many women that I knew of, oh, their husbands were great, everything wonderful. Husband dies, bobs her hair, jumps into slacks, and jumps into bed with many guys that she can handle. I'm not a woman hater. Let's get this flat. Don't think for a woman you're getting away from it. Don't think the men are, because they're the stronger vessel. And the women can't get away, and the men are the stronger vessel. Where are you men going to be? You're going to end up just like Adam. You lose your shirt and lose everything else and sell posterity down the drain. Identify yourself. Don't come to your two-soul doctrine. Well, the old soul died, so I didn't do it. You didn't do it? The guy that turned the killer, he's a rapist. He said that this spirit made him do it. And I said, I want to ask you one thing. Don, did you like it? He said, yeah. I said, you did it. Oh, come on. Well, I'll try to be nice, but don't ask me to. I'll be on my own accord. Now listen, he said, the resurrection, sure. What's he talking about? Glorified body. You and me getting a body we don't deserve. That's substitution. What he did for us, yes. And we were there with him. In other words, acquiescing all way down the line what God wanted. We acquiesce now and say that is true, right? I mean, the resurrection is sure, it's guaranteed. And we have the earnest of it now. That's a baptism with the Holy Ghost. as the Holy Spirit comes in and identifies us as God's redeemed person. And he said redeemed means to store back to original position, to restore back our heritage, to bring us right back in the full fellowship, that we are no longer alienated. We are now one with him in the body of Christ, part of that bride. That's what he's talking about here, redeemed. Redeemed means it's over. The price has been paid. There is nothing more to do. And now it's simply to deliver the goods. Now you say, yes, but I'll tell you, Brother Bill, there's many a person up been kidnapped. And when the money got there, the person was dead. Yeah, that's a bunch of stinking hellhounds of the devil. I'm talking about God. He delivers. So don't you tell me one minute about a God that delivers you, hallelujah, but you can get lost. If you're ever sealed with the Holy Ghost, you cannot get lost because you are a son of God and it is proven. God delivers. Oh, he's a deliverer. But of course, if I backslide, that's your Pentecostals. You say, what about these people that spoke in tongues and cast out devils? And he said, I never knew you. Well, they backslid. Then God's a liar because he must have known them at one time. Oh. Listen, do you know where I'm coming from this morning? I'm coming from this word that Brother Branham preached, vindicated. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is only for God's children. It's a limited atonement. And I can prove it. Because Cain didn't want it. And God didn't force it on him. He said, there it is. Take it. He said, I won't. He said, Cain, listen, you had the word right, but you didn't divide right. I want the blood before I want the first fruits, and I want this presentation here. He said, I'm not serpent seed. No, 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 no. I'm a child of Adam. I come right from you, God, and I don't need that under any consideration. I'm not a fallen person. And he killed, and he went on killing. And from that time on, Satan's seed has always killed God's seed in the flesh. They're not going to stop doing it. They'll do it by subtlety or anything they can do. Now, he says right here, it's guaranteed. We've got the earnest. It's assured. He said, and when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're sealed till the journey's over. And Brother Branham categorically said the baptism with the Holy Ghost is temporary. I never knew that, but it's 100% the Scripture, because you're only sealed in until the day of your redemption. And this is the hour of redemption. The book of redemption has been opened, the seven seals revealed before us, and it's all over. That right now there could be absolutely nobody else but 144,000 Jews left to receive the Holy Ghost, and all the rest of them are being child trained. I don't know, but that is the possibility which one day will be reality, because God's Word said so. I read that scripture hundreds of times and didn't have a clue. Like I read last night to you and showed you, you didn't have a clue either. Everybody thought, little child, little child, little child. Little child, they could be mean as the devil. What did the Bible say about a little child? It was obnoxious. It hated his parents and hated bringing him before the elders and killing. Get that little child chunk out of your mind. Get the truth. Be converted, full of the Holy Ghost. Then, as a child, put your hand in the hand of the Father and let him lead you. Hallelujah. Now we can scream and run and jump like Pentecostals. But they ain't got it. We do. Put the Baptist and rest of them in there, too. Clinton's a Baptist. Whoo, brother. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're sealed in till the journey's over. And at the end of the journey, what comes down? The great sealer himself comes down and seals the boxcar. And everybody in it. You know, the headstone has come. The sealer has come. What did Jesus say? I'll pray the Father, and he'll send the Holy Ghost. The Father himself has come down here, putting all things under the feet of Jesus, bringing the church in subjection. That's the shout. The shout, my brother, my sister, is not just the Word of God revealed. It's putting you in subjection. As Brother Branham said, you say you believe me, then why don't you obey me? They didn't do it. Yeah, young guys growing up committing adultery left and right. He said, Lee, they think I don't know. Name names even. I won't tell you any names. It's my business, not yours. I could tell you one anyway. Well, more than that, but who needs it? You think he didn't know? You couldn't hide if you tried. You just need my experience that I had with him, and you knew that he could trace your pedigree, your thoughts, your soul, your spirit, every inch of your body, invade it, and know everything. And he said, you're looking to me, aren't you? Now, you see, I could start screaming again. You know what? Vindication, 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 reality. Face to face. Not something you just dreamed up. I'm not talking anymore about substitution. It's not substitution anymore. Hey, it's over. This is it. We're just waiting now. Oh, that's the big thing. During the waiting at this time, they're going to turn. They're going to turn to science. They're going to believe it. They're going to turn here. They're going to turn there and say, well, what is all this about the kingdom? Well, when are we going to go in? Ain't nobody going to go in. Oh, my goodness me. It's always the same old story. Always the same old story. Somebody rises up and says, this is it, this is it. And my God, it never happens. And look what this was. This was the big thing, and it hasn't happened yet. It's happening. Before it wasn't happening. Time and eternity is blended. You think you're singing that song, we're marching to Zion, beautiful Zion, and it's just a song? It's just a song? You gotta be kidding. That's a testimony. Hey, we ought to just run around and have fun. I'm just so happy. You wouldn't think it, would you? That fooled a whole bunch of you. You thought I'm mean up here, getting so mean inside. I'm not. I'm so happy inside. I just start screaming and crying. Just so happy. See, it's not in our hands anymore. Reality doesn't have a thing to do with it because he said, I am the way, the reality. They call it truth, but it's not. Reality. I am the way, the reality, and the life. I'm all of it. Where Brother Brown said he's all of it. That's a beautiful part. Okay, we'll get another paragraph here in a minute. Now he said, and when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're sealed until the journey's over. We explained that from Ephesians temporary. That is your token that you hold that shows your fare has been paid. You are a redeemed character. Now the word character there right now is, what would you call? It's not exactly a synonym. It's a description. And yet it's a noun, because he said, you are a character. Really, we say, of what character is that person? What is his character? What is he allowed life to engrave in him, so that now he's engraved? So this becomes the person. Well, then he's using the word perfectly. Because you are now a redeemed character means that since you've been redeemed, no longer is the devil molding and changing and engraving you, but God, word is through the Holy Ghost. You're the redeemed character. Not character Satan. No longer engraved. And Brother Branham said Eve was formed by Satan. Fashioned her. That's when a certain preacher went over to Australia and he said that when God said, let us make man in your image, he was talking to Satan. Brother Branham said he was talking to Jesus. So who are you going to believe? The guy from Florida or the guy up here? Well, you better believe me because I'm quoting Brother Branham. They don't understand the first person was God, the second person Jesus, the third person Adam. Oh, that's better. So I just got up here. I think he almost cheated me. So you never trust even a tape. Redeemed character. See, Satan has no business with you. I didn't even read that, and I explained it before I read it. Oh, don't worry, I read it before. None whatever. Now watch. Just pick up your token and show him. My healing is paid for, my trip to glory. Now, Brother Branham emphasizes healing because that's what people want. Look, I need healing, but I'm getting along wonderfully. My soul is what counts. What counts is what God wants from me and what I deliver, what He delivers through me, and what He desires. Is He molding me, engraving me, so that when I come forth as clay, being engraved by the Holy Ghost according to the Word? So what does He say by identification? Hold up your token, which means I have the revelation by the Holy Ghost that I am a part of God, period. I am what God vindicated, said through His prophet. I am that person. I am placed. I am redeemed. Satan, you have nothing to do with me. I have my healing. Get out of here. You can't take the old-fashioned way of saying, well, Jesus died for me, the great substitute, and therefore, hallelujah, I can have healing by His stripes. All those things are legitimate. But what is being preached here is identification. So you don't just skip over here and say, I'm going to talk about healing and substitution. I'm talking about identification. I am a child of God. I am a part of God. And I want to tell you this. What part has Belial with Christ? What part has Satan with Christ? Tell me. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now my question is, did God's Spirit make me perfect and pure like His, or did my spirit make Him dirty? The blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin, so there'd be no evidence of it. The blood perfects the bride. That's just one perfection. And here's another quote, Roger, you can take home. Brother Branham said, the fivefold ministry perfects the bride. So unless Brother Branham was a fivefold ministry, the whole cheese, then somebody's here to do it. Not these guys that try to quote their Brother Branham did away with the fivefold ministry. Because if they rejected him, then he had to go to the fivefold. That's exactly true. You reject Brother Branham, where are you going to go? You're going to go to your pastor, who's nothing but a dog. Your teacher, nothing but a dog. Your evangelist, nothing but a harlot. Your apostle, a miscreant. Your prophet, a false one. Leave Brother Branham. That's exactly what you got. You go to him. There'll be a fivefold true ministry, albeit very few, because he said to Brother Old Sam, and Sam never lied. He said, Brother Sam, there's not that many true fivefold ministries. Well, you can say what you want about Lee Vale. I count myself as one. You do what you want. I'm going to stand right here with the Word. I'm identified. I can't explain that. I'm trying to do my best, but you think for 1 minute if I wasn't a part of him, I'd talk this way? This is so far beyond me, my God. Paul the Apostle had to stand before God and he counted everything he'd ever learned as dung. He said, it's putrefied, digested manure. It's vomit. It's not only digested manure, it's the vomit I ate that has now gone to manure. Merciful God, can you imagine anything stinker and rotten than vomit passing through you? Now apply that to your brain. No wonder Brother Brandon said you need your brain baptized with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me, or are you just going to play around the circle? Do what you want. I've had enough criticism. I can take it, no problem to me. They want to make me just a smart guy. I can show you guys in this message, got education, knocked mine into a hole. They don't have a clue. I don't need education. I could have quit grade 8 and preached just as good as they're preaching right now. Doesn't matter. See, it has nothing to do with you. If you're a part of God, God is obligated. God is obligated because God is bound by His Godhoodedness and Godheadedness. God is bound. God cannot do just anything. That's a lie. They say God can do anything but lie. Oh, come on. That's not putting it right. God can do anything that lies within Him being God. I don't know where people are coming from. Maybe they don't understand what I'm saying. Maybe I don't understand myself, but I think I do. Said, look, my healing's paid for, my trip to glory. Now here he's talking about identification in the Scripture. He's pointing out to you and me. And he's pointing it out to Satan. Just as he did when he was on earth. Satan came and said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. He said, it's written. I'm identified in the Scripture. Well, now, just a minute. Why don't you jump off the building up here? Because the Scripture says, till angels will bear thee up, even if you trip your foot on a stone. He said, I'm in the Bible. I can't do that. Well, listen, fall down and worship me. I'll give you the whole thing. Look, I've got it. You know I've got it. I said, just a minute, I'm in the Bible. I'm identified. See what I mean? Are we any less than Jesus? No way. No way. Only in our little position here. And believe me, we don't go through what he went through because he suffered as no man suffered. His visage marred as was no man's marred. Cast away from God. You and I never have that. Never, 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 never. God turned his back on him. He says, Satan, I'm in the Bible. Now I feel good. Now if we were a bunch of Pentecostals with their fervor for jumping and screaming, we should be jumping over benches and walking on tightrope, right? But they're never going to do it. You know why? Because this has nothing to do with emotion. Nothing to do with your own meditation. Nothing to do with your own thinking. Nothing with your own experience. This is pure, unadulterated word. I'm in the Bible. I'm identified. I know who I am. I'm a thoroughbred. If you want to type me as a beast, I'm a horse. Power. No hybrid. Hold on. See? So, a token is what you use to ride on a bus, line, or an airplane. Your ticket is your token, see? Your token. Remember, you preach the token. You're redeemed. What's he saying? You're only redeemed when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That means you know the price is paid and you've been delivered. You're not delivered till you're full of the Holy Ghost. The price is just there waiting. The price has been paid. But now that you've repented, changed your mind. Hey, I don't want what I got anymore. I want to be a new me. You're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, piling word upon word. You're born again. Now piling word upon word upon word is where you go from that point on. And you can understand this to be true because Brother Branham said, the individual works out as the ages. And the last age is the age of the mind, of the eye. The only moving part now is the eye. The mind does not move. Now, since the eye moved, the mind is static. We have the word of the living God. So the last word piled on is the shout. The church in divine order put back exactly where it was, and that means we will go back exactly where we were. The perfect redemption, it's all covered. So here we are. Take your token, you're redeemed. The blessing, the Holy Spirit. Now, why does he say the blessing, the Holy Spirit? That's what Paul said in Galatians. Exact words of Paul. I can look it up for you. Look it up yourself. Take me a while to turn to it, but I can turn to you. Right in Galatians, these are identical to words of Galatians. And if Satan tries to push something on you, just show this. That's your identification. Show what? I'm in the Bible. Eve didn't do it. Adam didn't do it. Jesus did it. I mean, here he is, Satan, Son of God. Satan, who you think you're kidding? If I'm a son of God, come on, man. I don't turn rocks into bread because I don't live the way you live and your bunch live. Trying to feed on miracles and everything else. Mine is the living word of God. I live by the word. And he proved it because they killed his body and he took it right back again in 3 days in a better form than ever. Well, come on, Satan, he said. Do some great miracle, some big fanfare. He said, I don't need to. I don't need to. Why would I bother? I'm going to give my life. I got power to lay it down, power to take it again. Why? Because the word said so. I'm obedient to the word. Now watch my father raise me. And when I come back, Satan, you better look out. Well, he said, I can spare you all that. I'll give you the kingdom. Oh, he said, I like a good fight. I'm going to tear the gates off of hell and take your head off with it. I'm going to prove that you're nothing but a bluff. When I come back, Satan, you better watch out, because I'm bringing my people with me. Oh, my. That's how he did it. And every time he said it, he got bigger and bigger. Remember Brother Branham telling about old Jack Moore had this dream? And in the dream, you know, the devil confronted him, and every time the devil took a swat, old Jack went further back, and his corner finally, he got so small, he knew he had to do something. He began quoting the Word of God. And as he quoted the Word of God, Satan got smaller and smaller, drove him out of the building. But Jack Moore never realized who Brother Branham was. He said, if we're Elijah were to come, he said, John the Baptist was he, but not Brother Branham. But he said, I'll tell you one thing. If I didn't believe John the Baptist was Elijah, my vote would be for Brother Branham. A vote? Brother Branham, I'm going to vote for you. I gave Brother Branham my vote. Oh, God. I never gave him any vote, brother, sister. God led me, and I was willing to give my life, and God is my judge. Before he died, I'd have been so happy to die instead of Brother Branham, whether I went to heaven or hell. Yeah, it wouldn't have done me any good, though, if I wasn't a child of God. The Bible tells me, give my body to be burned and don't have the Holy Ghost. What does it do for you? You got a vote? Brother Branham talked about a voter for Jesus. That was just euphemism or some little funny thing he said. Who knows? It's a good word. What does it mean? Who cares? See, all right. You take your token, you're redeemed, the blessing, the Holy Spirit. And if Satan tries to push something on you, just show this. That's your identification. See? That is your identification. I got a note about that. One of my favorite portions of Scripture, whether I'm right or wrong, I like it. It's over here in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it applies, though. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, and it says in verse 12 here, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, the Bible said this man, M-A-N, this man, just like Adam, this man, Adam, a man, part of the human race, brought into it, sat down the right hand of God forever, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their hearts, in their minds while I write them. So therefore, the Holy Ghost comes in absolutely assuring you that you are a beneficiary of what Jesus Christ did for you, sealing you in absolutely and putting that word in your heart and your minds. Now that means, other words, the heart is down, the word is right down in your heart. So therefore now the Holy Spirit in you, and you're the temple, and your soul is a part of God, that you down in there, the word of God comes into your mind, and your brain baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit takes it right down into your soul and then begins feeding it back and forth. And you testify that. And the more you testify and the more you proclaim it, and remember, it wasn't enough for Jesus to hit the devil once with the Word. It took him 3 times in a row. And you don't think for 1 minute I can confess 1 time and that's it. It's a constant confession, and that's what God's listening for. How these people talk to each other, not how they pray. Prayer is the most useless thing in the world when it's done wrong. It's the most condemning. You'll spin your wheels in sand and go to hell. You've got to believe. Because praying in unbelief is a wicked thing. It's saying, God, I know you can do, but I just hope you might do it, but I know jolly well it's hardly you'll do it. Or then you get to your spirit up and begin plowing your way in, and God says, okay, I'll give it to you, but watch how lean your soul is. So therefore, if there's not a true interplay in our entire spiritual system based upon the Word through the Holy Ghost, now your worship is vain. Now that's a mouthful, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Brother Branham didn't tell Jack Palmer for nothing. Look, Jack, don't keep asking God for things. I've learned that. Just do the Word. When you obey the Word, it's got to answer. Didn't say just when. But you've got to answer. The Bible tells you when it'll answer. when you have the sufficient character, waiting upon God for His promise, believing Him, you will get it and get it and get it. That's the Bible. And if you take your hand from the plow, you're not worthy. Why would you get it? That's why the prayer line with all the quick answers, that's wonderful. That just merely shows that God can do it. But what does it do for you? And Brother Branham said time after time, the deaf that came into his line that hurt outside the door, they lost their hearing. The dumb that spoke in the line lost their speech outside the door. I had that happen in my meetings. You don't want those quick answers. I saw people come in the meeting where Brother Branham was heard and said, you, and they came to me and said, he picked me up, what do you mean? Brother Branham came on the scene. What do you mean? Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, God. Hey, there's a God after all, and He's in heaven. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's our Jesus. Glory to God. And He's healing it. Aha, that proves us right. Oh, no, proved them all wrong. Hey, isn't this something what everybody says? He proved me right. And He proved them wrong. Now, listen, you understand what I just said a minute ago? I gave you a very, very profound truth of what happened. The people said He proved us right, and we proved Him wrong. Because He came with manifestation that they believed in, and He had it. And they said, that's it. And as soon as He preached the Word of God, they said, He's wrong. If I had not done the works, nor the man had done, they had not sinned. But now they've both sinned and hated both me and my father. I love God. You're a liar. You hate Him. Brother Vail, we had such sweet fellowship. Oh, Brother Vail, you tell me that I hate God? I love Him, and I'll kill you to prove it. Or I'll love you to death until you admit I've really got it. Well, the serpent loved Eve to death. And Adam took her back. That's your identification. What's your identification? All right, 1 Corinthians, what is it, 14? Over here. Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual. Now, a prophet is one who absolutely knows when the word is there. He can't miss it because he's fivefold. There's no way. And he prophesies events, but he's not a word prophet. He's a fivefold. Now, what is a spiritual person? Paul explains it in Romans 8. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. So anybody in the bride of Christ is equal to Joe Branham or any prophet in this world concerning the Word of God, because it says right here. So if you're waiting for Joe Branham to come and tell you something, I got news for you, ain't got the Holy Ghost. Or you're so ignorant, it's pitiful. Because, listen, I'm reading it again. It says, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet, or spiritual, that's full of the Holy Ghost, let him acknowledge, let him superimpose upon every single thing. What? The words that I write you are the commands of the Lord. There is your evidence. If you got the Holy Ghost, you will believe that man. If you haven't, you won't. That's good, thank you. He's identified himself. And that's the way it's going to be. I am 100% a Branhamite in the conception of, I would say, I am Pauline or of Moses. I am of all of them. From Christ on the grounds I listened to the end time prophet William Branham, who was according to Deuteronomy 18, period. And God answered back to him. And remember, God answered back to David also. And he was a pretty iffy character. Oh my, how the people love to say, well, you know, that fellow's got a ministry, but you know, if he'd get out, they say that about me, you know. If he'd get out of my way, Lord, You'll use me so wonderfully. Come on. God ain't going to use you instead of me. And He ain't going to use me instead of Brother Branham. Even though God knows I would have died for him. Just had one request. Brother Branham, watch out for my wife every now and then. That's all I would have asked him. He'd have been glad to die, happy to die. What good would it do? Just in vain. Don't you ever exalt yourself. Because God has no use for people like that. You'll never take anybody's place. And if anybody gets out of your way, it doesn't make any room for you. Because if I lose one finger, I've lost my finger. If I lose a cell, I've lost the cell. Don't ever, ever, ever think more highly than you ought to think. But identify yourself in the Word of God, for even Jesus Christ humbled himself to the death of the cross. See, there's a difference now. See, we're talking about identification, identification. And when we talk about identification, we're saying, what is really real? What is really real? What is the reality of this Bible? What is it really saying? What's the nitty-gritty? What is the substance? Is God in it? Can I depend upon it? Is this factual? That's identification. Anything else is psychological or substitutionary. And neither one will do you one bit of good unless you're identified. Now, you can be identified as Pharaoh. For this cause I raised you up to show my power in you, down. Moses, I raised you up to show my power, up. Identify. The two children, being not yet born, God said, I love one, hate the other. Therefore, it's not to him that willeth or him that runneth, but God who showeth mercy. Therefore, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I won't, don't have mercy, I won't have mercy. Then, man, why are you replying? Now, even the person that says, I'm suffering an indignity. Why would God do this to me? They better come to the place where Nebuchadnezzar came. And once he got through his dementia, he said, there is a God in heaven who doeth according to his will in the armies of the heavens and in the earth, and no man can say, why are you doing it? Why do you do it? Will you stop it? No man has a voice in it. And so the lady said, Brother Bill, I couldn't believe in God. The predestinated. And the man says, such great fellowship. We don't have fellowship anymore. So Brother Branham said, you who believe all the word, what fellowship can you have with those who believe part of the word? You see, he believed part of the word. She even believed the word that Satan gave her that God had not yet given to her. You should be as gods. That was to come later on, way down the road. She blew it. Are you identified? If you are, you better start doing something about it. You better start believing it. You better start acting it. You can say, well, I can do this, I can do that, and then even blame it on me. I've got a lot of people blame things onto me. I never said. Oh, yeah. You're taking twisted. Because I'm honest to stand here and say, I don't have the answer. It's in your lap. I said, Brother Bill said, I could do what I want. Okay, you? Come and tell me that to my face. Tell it before the whole church. Well, let's open the Word of God like Brother Branham did. And he did something that only a prophet could get around. Remember, you cannot swear by the Word, you cannot swear by God, you cannot swear by the kingdom, you cannot swear by the heaven. Yet before the court he said, this Bible opened before me, and knowing there is a God in heaven. Right there, he was in the electric chair. I promise to tell the truth. Never swore, I promise. I've done it. I'll do it again. Identification. You are identified in the resurrection. You're identified in his death. Reality. You were there. Paul said so. When you die, you're identified in his resurrection. Why? Because you're part of it. How can you be identified in the resurrection unless you're a part of it? Otherwise, you talk of substitution in psychology. Psychology's not worth a plugged nickel. It came from hell and it's going to hell. Psychology stinks. The psychologist is rotten. They're sleazy, slimy scuzzballs. I don't care how educated they are. I've listened to them. And your preacher's a psychiatrist. He's sleazy, slimy scuzzball. If you're identified, it means a reality. I am part of that resurrection, and it's going on now because the shout has come, which makes the bride perfect, because they without us that are perfect cannot be made perfect in the resurrection without ours. So we are now in the process of immortality. We're part of the resurrection. Now, you've got to keep telling yourself that and everybody else, because the devil's going to come right by and say, now, just a minute. Just a minute. Just a minute. And that's what he wants. Scoffers. Now we join the scoffers. And the scoffers say, where is the promise of his appearing? Where is the promise of his presence? Where is the face-to-face? When are we going into the kingdom? And as I said, everybody's got his eyes on the millennium. Fine. And Peter didn't even mention millennium. He merely talked about the flood and headed you straight to New Jerusalem, because that's the ultimate. The millennium is only a little quickie stopping off place. Well, I want to be in the millennium. You ever notice how the millennium's all mixed up with the future kingdom of New Jerusalem? Read the book of Isaiah. And when it talks about the lamb and the lion laying down and the millennium, it talks about the holy hill. Peter does the same thing. It's a progression. And if you get this far, the millennium is only a little stopping off place. Then the white throne. Then the dissolution completely. Then the New Jerusalem, which is the ultimate, which is what God himself sowed for. And when God reaps what he sowed for, the word not returning void but fulfilled. That's it. Then why are you talking about the in-between? That's why there's hardly a thing in the scripture about the millennium. And who cares two bits when one day is 1,000 years with God and 1,000 years is one day? You want one day exchange for the eternity? Go ahead, be my guest. Since I've been preaching the last little while, I've changed my whole mind about these things. I've joined hands with Peter and Abraham. I'm looking for the city which hath foundations, builder and maker is God. You can have the rest. I don't want to miss the millennium. Sure, I don't want to miss it. That's the human part there where your family life was what you really love it to be, where it's... Oh, listen, up there, that's different. Oh, man. When the Son hands the kingdom back to the Father, the Father becomes all in and all, the full complements of God, or what complements God, God being there, and we having been complementary to him. Oh, my, what a reflection from the mirror. Before they call, he answered. I can't explain it, but I know it's there. And Brother Branham, just beyond the curtain of time to just go before them, and he said, don't. What's it be just to step to the other side? And what's it going to be for millennium? And what's it going to be at the white throne where we're attorneys? You think for one... Listen, even science today has finally admitted. They said, listen, all this great universe has just one purpose, and that's for man. Oh, isn't it nice they finally found that out? Those lovely, stupid bunch of illiterate jackasses that vaunt themselves as though they got a brain. If they got a brain, I'll likely find it out there on the prairie somewhere, a coyote chewing it up. And that's being very nice. Being very nice. I could have said something else and I just changed my mind. See, the Lord's dealing with me this morning to be nice. Merciful God. See, Brother Branham didn't say I had to tell him, but he said somebody's got it. So it's all right, I guess. Now listen, when you die, you're identified in his resurrection. It says when you die, you're identified not in death, but a resurrection. Why? Because the death already took place 2,000 years ago. Why are you identified in his death? You aren't identified in his death. Now forget it. There's no blood. There's nothing for you. Right? When he died, we died. But he rose. But he had to go through death. So now in death, resurrection. Because that's the only place to go. Why? Because we're human, we got bodies. Chemicals. Next time, glorified chemicals. You see, that's what's wrong right now. We got chemicals, and my God, you're debauched. You're mixed up. You're mutilated. You're horrible. We're going to get glorious chemicals. Oh, we'll eat, we'll drink. Now, my wife has a terrible time because her smelling has gone a lot. Therefore, she can't taste like I can taste. And many times, I know she's not tasting like I'm tasting, and I feel sorry for her. I got good taste buds. Well, she's going to get hers back, maybe even before she dies. How would you like to be without taste, without smell? Or without feeling? You wouldn't know you're sick, you're hip, you could die, bleed to death. You wouldn't be sensate. Oh, when it's sharpened with the true chemicals. Wow. I'll tell you one thing, you won't be like the Israelites. Say, oh, this man, it was all right the first day. It doesn't taste so good now. Every day gets better and better. Now our taste buds get sharpened up. And by that, it identifies that you were with him before the foundation of the world. So you see, if you can't identify in your death, knowing it's really your resurrection, that your dying here now means, thank God that's finished, I'm beginning to really rise now in the right body and all. I'm on my way to getting the final confirmation, the final results. He tells you right here, let me read it now. It says, this process that you now have, and you're going through mentally and spiritually, and by that it identifies that you were with him before the foundation of the world, because you are redeemed. That's brought back. And also it says, before the foundation, he was the Lamb crucified. So you see, if you don't come to the place where you identify yourself, in your death now, like Brother Paul Berg died, that was not death, but resurrection. Because he was identified with death, but now his body dying, he's identified with the resurrection. That's exactly what the process is. We should be rejoicing, because he's rejoicing. And it says right there, if you don't have that, you don't have the knowledge that you were with him in the beginning back there. Now, how can you say you're identified and full of the Holy Ghost and you can't understand what I'm saying and you won't go with it? Now, we're opening up a whole new vista here, which is the renewing of the mind by the Holy Ghost, which the baptized brain will take, but the rest of the brain won't. So death is not death because that's completed in him. It's now resurrection. Because how can you have resurrection before you die? Resurrection means to bring back what went down. Brother Branham took his handkerchief and he dropped it. He says, this is my handkerchief. If it comes back a book, it's not resurrection. Right? All your minds are renewed, right? That ought to do it. Yeah. It come back. Go to gas and dust. You bring it back. So therefore, I am assuring myself, I know that I was with him in the beginning. It is exactly right, because it means to bring back. Now listen, your death, now coming to the resurrection, putting you as a soul under the altar, in that dimension where Brother Branham is, and the saints of this age, whoever they are, they're there. Now you're stepping closer to where you once were. But you didn't have any memory of it. Now, at the point of the resurrection, and you have your body, you are now closer again, even as Jesus. Now remember, Jesus on the throne with his Father down here is a further step than when he was on the mercy seat. Huh? Absolutely. Now, where are we going? We are allowed, according to him, to sit in his throne as he sits in the Father's throne. So now we're taking a step further. Then in the New Jerusalem, it is all the way back to where you were. So can you see the transition? Can you see where you are today from what you were yesterday and the day before and every day closer? Therefore, we should welcome death as the open door, as another open door, not an Alice in Wonderland falling down a rabbit hole, meeting some chimera, an imagination. That's the church. This is the bride. This is reality. Your death, believing this, having this, knowing this, as Brother Branham brought it, you having received it and cannot accept it be given you from above. Nope, absolutely, that Brother Paulberg is now in the step of the resurrection that he longed for. And the next step is coming back. And from there on, every one of the departed saints in this word, in this bride, will be taking the further steps through the millennium, onward and upward, until the kingdom is handed back to the Father, and we come to that ultimate that is we know today, but tomorrow, in the New Jerusalem, billions of years later, there may be vistas unheard of, unseen, will enter into. I don't know, but I believe it, because you can't exhaust God. How can you exhaust infinity? How can you exhaust omniscience and omnipotence? And it's all there within him and we in him. So, he says here, you're identified that you are with him from the very beginning. All the Father hath given me will come, and no man can come unless the Father has given it. See, in the beginning. And there you get foreknowledge, election, predestination. There you get God's Holy Spirit involved with chemicals and chemistry. They involved in that life in the chemistry with the Word. They coming forth as God preordained in His Word because we are Word. Adding Word to Word until the bride is completely filled. The fullness of the Godhead bodily in that realm as it was in Jesus Christ. And we see the consummation thereof in the New Jerusalem with the Lamb at the apex. Now notice, He was sinless to take place the place of the sinful, the antidote. He was without sin, so that He might redeem sinners. Now, that's why He was virgin-born. And it was locked in because God gave those very traits that were in God's life into that body. You mean to tell me you can have the sperm of a dog and an egg of a dog come together and not produce a dog as a dog is? Oh, come on. Didn't you tell me that God gave this chemical, the chemical attributes here and wrapped them in Himself and didn't express God as God would be? That's why Brother Branham said God was the first man. I've said for years before I knew what Brother Branham taught, hey, the Bible says that God has a breast, God has thighs, God has arms, God has eyes, God has a mouth, God has a tongue, God has ears, and all these things. He's a man. That's why in the image of God made Him. And Brother Branham came along and he said, well, that was spiritual. Sure, it's spiritual. He's a spirit being. When He carved Him out, though, what was He? He was a man. Then Brother Branham says, God the first man, and so on, right down the line. He never said too much about that, but once is enough. So, God was expressed in Him and properly identified Himself in Him. Now notice in there, God was expressed in Him. The Father in me doeth the works, and thus saith the Lord from Deuteronomy, proved that He was that identified prophet. And remember, He came as a prophet, and also recognized later as a redeemer. So He was not just a prophet, He was a redeemer prophet. And not just a redeemer prophet, He was the only begotten Son of God prophet redeemer. And Israel couldn't take it, though it was all in the Word. And they said, you search Moses and you'll find it. And everything in Moses was there in types and in shadows and revealed in the prophets. And He had every identification. They turned it down. And they said, we see. He said, because you say your sin remaineth. Where are the Pentecostals today which epitomize the seventh church age? Which Brother Branham said was the cream, and the cream rises on top of the milk. So therefore the product of the cow all through the ages has been milk and cream. And the end time, the cream is the Pentecostals. Depart from me, I never knew you. No wonder it's cannon fodder. I'm not making this up, brother, sister. I've studied this message. When I study it word by word, I study with you word by word. See? Properly identified. Now, Brother Branham, you say, Brother Branham, did you say God identified himself? He did. You think God didn't identify himself there? Say, who are you, O great pillar of fire? Who are you that we have your picture? Who are you that's speaking through this man? This man's under your control. Who are you that does these things and tells these things? And he said, Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. I am Elohim, I am God. And he talked about little Jehovah, the one who came in his own father's name. Big Jehovah, little Jehovah, which means, you know, Jehovah Savior, Jesus or Jeshua. Right down there, he identified himself. He identified himself. God the Father was 100% identified, and Jesus the Son was 100% identified. Absolutely 100% identified. You cannot get away from it because that is the truth. Well, we'll put a little note here, and we'll see what happens when we get here. All right? As far as we go today, identificational. So if I were to ask you to tell me one word, in one word, what does identification mean? And because you might answer several words, I'll answer for you. Reality. Reality. And reality in the Greek is another word for truth. And let's get this true. The Bible says you can do nothing against the truth but for it. You can do nothing against reality but for it. So therefore, if you disclaim it, it makes it all the greater for you. And when you claim it, it's all the greater for you. So therefore, no matter what anybody says, for or against us, we keep enlarging in the enlargement of God. No wonder Paul said our mouths are enlarged toward you. Gave them more and more of the word. All right, we could talk for a long time on that, but this is the time that we have finished, so we rise at this time and to be dismissed, and then we can have dinner as quick as we can. So, Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time we've had today together, even though we read very little of what Brother Branham said. We know, Father, that we have given the words which would impress upon the people, their minds right down in their hearts, the very thing that Brother Branham was saying, even as he said in that sermon, Perfect Faith, which was so, I believe, many, many people misunderstand, thinking that he was telling them they're going to go to some place where they would be like the prophet, rather than realizing that the revelation of the truth had come forth even now. Are we identifying? Is this real? Are we real? What is the truth? Even as Herod said, what is truth? And turned his back. Thank you, Lord, today that we have the prophet's message. Identification is the truth. And we cannot add to it or take from it. And no matter what anybody does for or against it, it will only enlarge itself. For thou art God, who hath never failed to prove yourself steadfast with your word, one with it, bringing to pass. And even now, Lord, this word must bear fruit in our minds, in our souls, in our spirit, and in our bodies, under the glory of Almighty God. Because we have seen and acknowledged that this is indeed the Christ and of the Christ, to the glory of God the Father, world without end. And now unto thee, the eternal one, we give praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And may everyone taking this message, O God, be healed. Be healed and rebuke the devil and stand